Morning, everyone. Happy New Year. Story County Board of County Commissioners meeting will now come to order. If anyone has any audible devices or any other cell phones, if you'd silence them now, it's not to disrupt the rest of the meeting. We'd appreciate it. And if you'd stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
It's customary and routine that at this time we have election of the chairman to the Story County Board of Commissioners for the term of 1 year, pursuant to Story County Code 2.04.008. So at this time, I will go ahead and open nominations for the chairman.
I'd like to move to nominate Marshall McBride as the chairman of the commission for 2020.
I'll second.
Okay, I have a motion and a second to appoint myself, Marshall McBride, as the chairman of the Story County Commission for the ensuing year.
Aye.
All
aye.
Those in favor?
Aye.
Who cares? Great, thank you. I appreciate my fellow commissioners here for giving me the responsibility and in your trust in holding this position. I appreciate this position. I like to chair this board, and thank you once again for your consideration.
You've done such a professional job. You know, you'd be hard shoes to fill, so welcome.
Thank you, Lance.
You're welcome.
Welcome back.
Thank you, Jay. Next up, we'll move on to item number 4. This is the election of vice chairman to the Story County Board of Commissioners for the term of 1 year, pursuant to Story County Code 2.04.008.
I'd like to move to appoint Jay Carmona as the vice chairman of the Story County Board for the 2020 year.
Very good. And I'll second your motion. So I have a motion and a second to appoint Jay Carmona as vice chairman for the ensuing year. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Thank you.
If we may take a minute, we'll switch chairs.
All righty. Yeah.
Come on over.
Thanks. We're timely for a reason, I guess.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
You were a type for a reason. Yeah. All right. Moving along now to item number 5. This is discussion of possible action approval of the agenda for January the 7th, 2020. Mr. Osborne, do we have any changes or corrections to make to today's agenda?
Yes, please. I ask that we move item in the consent agenda, Roman numeral 4. To after 21 so that it can be discussed. And that's all. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
After 21, you said?
How about after 20?
Okay, move after 20.
Yeah. And that item is the appointments of state, county, and local commissions.
All right. Very good. Is there any public comment regarding this item? Hearing none, I get a motion to approve with that change.
I make a motion to approve consent agenda item number 4 to after item number 20.
I'll second.
Okay, and this is also to approve the agenda for today.
Oh, excuse me. And also to approve the agenda for today.
I'll second.
Okay. All right. Moving to second, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Moving along to item number 6, this is discussion of possible action, approval of the minutes for November the 19th, 2019. Is there any public comment regarding those minutes? Hearing none, I get a motion to approve.
I move to approve the minutes for November 19, 2019.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve those minutes. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 7, discussion of possible action, approval of the minutes for December the 3rd, 2019. Is there any public comment regarding those minutes? Hearing none, I get a motion for approval.
I move to approve the minutes for December 3rd, 2019.
Second.
We move to second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Moving along to item number 8, discussion of possible action to approve the minutes for December the 4th, 2019. Is there any public comment regarding those minutes? Hearing none, we get a motion to approve.
I move to approve the minutes for December 4, 2019.
Second the motion.
Moved and second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to today's consent agenda. Any additional public comment regarding today's consent agenda? Hearing none, we get a motion to approve.
I move to approve today's consent agenda.
Second the motion.
Moved and second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Hi, Mr. Chairman. I think Mr. Lewis has something he might want to bring up.
On the consent agenda, item number Roman numeral 3, as understood, the sheriff's office is going to handle this differently. Is that your understanding, Tony?
I'm sorry, what?
Item number 3 on the consent agenda is the addition of Don Grant to the license at the Union Brewery. It's my understanding that the owner of the Union Brewery has died 2 days ago.
Correct.
And so we were going to treat this as a new application, I think.
Her background is complete. The person applying with a new license. So I believe they were just going to read the first reading.
Right, Mr. Sherman and yeah. Mr. Loomis, the sheriff did reach out to me, and I do believe the way it is okay. He said that the matters are resolved and that this first reading can move forward.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm very familiar with this. In actuality, Don Grant is the owner of the building,
mm-hmm.
and so she's added. And it's customary to go ahead. We'll go through the process to issue a temporary license to an applicant. So
right,
everything right. Is copacetic.
Right.
Okay.
All right.
We'll move along now to item number 10. This is discussion only. We'll take no action to public comment. These are committee and staff reports, and we'll start. On the right side of the room with from the Sheriff's Office, Tony Dosa.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Nothing to report this morning.
Thank you, Tony. From Public Works Operations, Mike Northman.
Thank you, Commissioners. Mike Northman, Operations and Projects Coordinator. Just a quick update on a couple of items. Divide Building, we did receive bids, as you're aware. The bids came in a little bit higher than county was anticipating, so we're currently working with the apparent low bidder, which would be Simerson Construction. I'm happy to report that some pretty good progress has been made there, and I'll be keeping you guys posted as we move forward. Second item, Black and Howell Building. We did get a preliminary design from Mr. Dubay at Dubay Group Architecture, and I have a meeting with him and Mr. Dotson on Wednesday to look at that preliminary design. I think it's not quite what we want yet, and we want to keep a sharp eye on budget on that as well. So I'll let you know as that proceeds. Visitor Center water damage. Looks like we're pretty well wrapped up there. Thursday, I have the electrician come in, reattach the plugs and the EMT along the base of the wall, get the ATM put back in, and that project is close to being closed. Do have a little bit of work to do with Public Works in terms of water sealing the exterior of that building, the windowsills and the red bricks. So we're investigating some products to use for that in conjunction with Public Works crews. BC Highlands Community Center, I do have a site plan pretty well put together, and I will have a estimate on those proposed changes shortly for your consideration. And that's all I have today, sirs.
Okay. Any questions for Mike? Thanks, Mike. Okay. Director of IT, James Dean.
Thank you, James, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners. Thank you.
Thanks, James. Story County Fire Chief, Jeff Nevin.
Nothing today, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Story County Senior Center, Stacey York.
Good morning, Stacey York for the record. We have free radon test kits available at the Lockwood Community Senior Center, as well as the Virginia City Senior Center, Monday through Friday, 9 to 3. So if anybody wants to pick up a radon kit, they're free for Story County residents. We're also doing a Valentine's Day fundraiser at the Senior Center. So if you want to get your sweetheart a dozen of roses, they're $30. We ask that you pick them up on Valentine's Day morning. And then just a final 2019 transportation update with our new program. We served over 56 clients for the year, doing 21,508 miles and giving 15,000 rides. So transportation was very much needed, and the program is running amazingly. So any questions?
One question. On the radon kits, is that a test that should be done on an annual basis on someone's home, or is it once it's done, if it comes up negative, are you good to go?
For the most part, yeah. If you ever want to sell your home, though, they're good to have a year update. Great. And we'll be doing a presentation, I think it's February 22nd, at the Senior Center.
Great. Are they going to be doing the presentation here again as well, do you know?
I don't think so. No, we don't have one scheduled.
University of Nevada is doing that?
Yeah. Okay. Yep.
Any questions for Stacy? Okay. Thank you, Stacy. Director of Public Works, Jason Wurzbeski. All right. Director of Tourism, Jenny Dotson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Happy to be here. I'll defer my comments to the agenda.
All right. Very good. Emergency Management Director, Joe Curtis.
And no excitement on my end today, sir.
Very good. Over to Human Resources, Jim Chapman.
Nothing today, thank you.
In the Recorder's Office, Marnie Hanson Martinez.
Nothing to report today, thank you, Jim.
Very good. Over at Planning, Kathy Canfield.
Good morning. I wanted to just let everybody know that we are trying to wrap up our Title 17 update. We'll be discussing that at the Planning Commission this Thursday, January 16th at 6 o'clock here in the courtroom, trying to finish up our zoning code amendments. The amendments are posted online if anybody has any questions, or they can more than welcome to come talk with me, and I'd be happy to have input. The other notice is that we will be having our Regional Transportation Commission meeting most likely at 9 o'clock before the next board meeting on January 21st. We'll just be giving some housekeeping items and some updates on some transportation projects that have been occurring that relate to Story County. We also I think some of this has been emailed out to some of you, but Virginia City made the cover of the Nevada Planner, which is the Nevada chapter of the American Planning Association magazine. So, and there's also an article about the Dayton Valley Area Drainage Master Plan inside of it that talks about that. So if there's anybody interested, I printed this one out, but it's an online magazine. I'm happy to forward it if you didn't get a copy, or if there's anybody in the audience that'd like to see it. I'm happy to do that too. And lastly, the planning department is in our new offices, where the comptroller was. So there's room for more than one person to come visit. So, you're more than welcome to come in and say hi.
A little elbow room now.
Yes.
Good for you.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Kathy. Director of Communications, Dave Ballard.
Nothing to report today.
Who do I have next? Beth Kim, Lockwood Senior Center?
Nothing to report.
Nothing today? Okay. From the Comptroller's Office, Mr. Gallagher.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Happy New Year, members of the Commission. The financial statements for the year ended fiscal year ended June 30th, 2019, will be ready for your hopefully approval by the next Commission meeting. This was not due to the accounting software that we had gotten, although it was difficult. We managed to get through with that. The reason that we are taking a little extra time is because of a third-party evaluation on other post-employment benefits for our retirees, which also includes PERS, which has to be formulated from a third party, and also some late attorney letters that we have to send out, which call for subsequent events. And a subsequent event is after June 30th of 2019. Is there anything out there that could possibly be a liability to the county? And we have to do that. So we're waiting on those, but I anticipate that being ready by the 21st. In addition to that, of course, today is starts the new year, which also means we're starting budgets fairly early again. The Department of Taxation has given us our due dates for the tentative budget, which will be April 15th of this year. And the final budget will have to be given to them by June 1st, which is way late from where it was in previous years. So if you have any questions.
Right, Mr. Gallagher.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Chief Deputy District Attorney, Mr. Loomis.
Nothing today, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
County Manager, Mr. Rodmore.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The strategic plan update on the 21st of this meeting will be when this board then makes its final considerations for the mission and vision statement for the strategic plan. Between last week or so and that date, all of these draft strategic plan vision and mission statements will be posted on the website of the county in a portal that is in the county manager's office link where anybody can go in and take a look at these draft options, make comments on them. There will be a survey, one of those survey monkeys in there, and people can comment and make their recommendation for what we do with this. In addition, all those materials will be in that web portal at all times so the public can interface. Right after the 21st, we'll begin the full community-wide workshops that will occur in all of our different communities for building goals and objectives for our strategic plan throughout the spring. The capital improvement plan is on its next stage. The department heads have all commented and provided the things regarding rolling stock all the way down to infrastructure, and we have now divided that up tentatively into a one to three-year plan, a 3 to 5-year plan, a 5 to 10-year plan, and we're still going back and forth on the drafts of that. I thank the department heads for their comments and being participatory in this process and building a capital improvement plan. Hugh's office and I have worked very closely on how we're going to integrate the CIP in with the budget procedures for this spring, and having that document really be the guiding force in planning out for infrastructure projects and for heavy equipment and other types of purchases. We have initiated to the Sheriff's Office Employees Association to begin bargaining their collective bargaining agreement. So we will begin that process throughout this spring with closed sessions and other communication on that. That bargaining hasn't begun yet. It should begin around February. There's a couple town calls coming. The next one is January 23, which is Thursday at 5:30 at the Lockwood Senior Center. And this will be immediately after the Lockwood Board held by Stacy and her group. I think I said it right, Stacy, the Lockwood Board or the Story County, well, the Lockwood Advisory Board. So this is really a non-agenda. Come community and tell me what you think, what kinds of issues are on your mind, and what kinds of ways the county can serve. And then we'll also talk about the strategic plan and a little bit the capital improvement plan. And two last things, waste management. Now there is a web portal on the county manager's website with the county. Anybody can go in there and look at the franchise agreement, can look at any documents pertaining to tonnage, fees, whatever. And then there also will be periodic updates that will be posted. And as you probably all saw, anybody who's connected to us or has waste management, a flyer went out regarding your garbage cans and another went out regarding other matters that are of interest to the community. And those are all I have. Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Austin. Questions for Austin?
Austin, what time is that town hall in Lockwood?
5:30.
5:30.
All right. Over to the county clerk's desk. Stevens, nothing today? All right. That concludes the committee and staff reports. We'll move on now to item number 11. These are the board comments. We'll take no action on public comment. Start off with Vice Chairman, Mr. Carmona.
I did just want to make mention that, I hope I'm not overstepping, but Earlene Flanagan passed away last week. She's been in the county a long time, and obviously Lisa Hess at the Union Brewery also passed away.
Okay. Thank you for that. I'm going to follow up on Earlene here in a moment. For those of you who were around town over the holiday season, you know, the Merry Christmas season and Hanukkah, we had good weather, so Virginia City enjoyed visitors from all over the world for about a 10-day period, so it was very good for the local merchants. It's very festive. It was a good time, a lot of New Year's Eve revelers in town, some great parties that went on. Piper's Opera House had their Roaring Twenties party, second time in 100 years. So anyway, they were a sellout over there as well. So it was a good, it was a very good event. Following up on Commissioner Carmona's mentioning, it's with great sadness that we mentioned the longtime resident Earlene's untimely passing on the 28th of December. She was a graduate of Colorado State University, made her way to Virginia City in the 80s, was the proprietor of Edith Palmer's Country Inn, Bed and Breakfast, which was a renowned establishment. She owned that for several years up until she married Story County assessor at the time, John Flanagan. And they made their home on Howard Street, where they went ahead and restored a beautiful old two-story house to its days of grandeur from the 1800s. I knew them very well. They were my next-door neighbors. I got to know Earlene even more when she and Pat Whitten became a couple, as she would travel with us to NACO conferences around the country and around Nevada. She was a good sport. She liked a good joke. She liked to tailgate. She loved to put on a tailgate party, whether it was at for college basketball, football games, or the pro games. And she did an early season trade and ended up with a new grandson who plays with the Minnesota Vikings, Busy Johnson, number 81. So. So she was pretty proud of that kid. When her former husband, John Flanagan, came out of retirement, became a county commissioner here as well, he died in office, and the governor appointed Earlene to go ahead and complete his term in office, which she did. And one time I thought that she was going to run for this seat, and when she opted not to, I did. She's got two boys, two adult boys, Keith and Kurt. They both live in Colorado. They stayed behind when she moved to Nevada. We did a lot of traveling. We'd be on a tour to Washington, D.C. to see all the sites and that. In New Orleans, we saw the sites on a Segway. We thought that was pretty cool doing stuff like that. She goes ahead and she leaves her two boys and her fiance, Pat. They were going to get married up until this untimely passing of hers. We also have Toby Whitten, Pat's daughter, and her significant other, Jen Harrington. So, our hearts and prayers go out to the family. So, that concludes my comments. Commissioner Gilman?
No comments, Steve. Thank you, sir.
Did you want to? I saw in the Reno paper today they posted the new Horse Oasis development going up in the industrial park. Did you want to mention that at all, since it's public knowledge now? Or?
I don't have anything with it today, no, sir.
Okay, great. With that, we're going to move on to something of a little more happy note here. This is item 12. This is approval of a resolution, 15-561, honoring Charles and Candace Fitz with the Sugarloaf Mountain Motel and Market as a 2019 Story County Business of the Year. We wanted to do this in 2019, but some unforeseen circumstances had to push us into the new year, which is just fine. So, Mr. Dotson, you have the podium.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And again, that's one of my highlights that I get to do each year is kind of lead the campaign, if you will, on selecting a business of the year here in Virginia City, and it's becoming even more and more competitive, and because there's so many wonderful merchants, it made it very difficult. But knowing what it, you know, appreciating what it takes to start a business here in today's competitive climate, Story County each year recognizes and awards a business and organization that has shown significant achievement and or has made significant contributions to the residents of Virginia City and Story County. The recipients are selected by a committee made up of yourself, the commissioners, county manager, other department heads, and the Virginia City Tourism Commission members. The selection committee considers all types of criteria from performance, achievements, leadership in the community, customer service, sales, employment growth, providing vital needs here in Virginia City, employee relations, and just overall contributions to the economic health of Story County. Before you, there is a resolution 19561, which indeed does honor Charles and Candace Pitts with the Sugarloaf Mountain Motel and Market as the 2019 Story County Business of the Year. And with that, I'd ask that they come up here and accept a little gratitude or a little award for their hard work. So, yeah, we can take a picture or that, or we can read the resolution first, Mr. Chairman, whatever.
You want to read the resolution?
Go right ahead. Like me too?
Sure.
Sure. Resolution 19-561, a resolution honoring Candace and, Charles and Candace Pitts with the Sugarloaf Mountain Motel and Market as the Story County 2019 Business of the Year. Whereas this award will be given to a Story County business or organization that has shown significant contributions towards the economic stability in Story County. Whereas Charles and Candace Pitts with the Sugarloaf Mountain Motel and Market have shown extraordinary entrepreneurship, have improved a needed service in Virginia City, and have shown strong community relations and contributions towards many of Virginia City's nonprofits. Therefore, let it be known to all present and that the Board of County Commissioners of Story County do hereby resolve to commend and honor Charles and Candace Pitts with the Sugarloaf Mountain Motel and Market for their continued and exemplary service to the people of Story County. Good job, guys.
Go ahead and hold up there for a moment. Right now I'm going to ask if there's any public comment on this item. I'll make a public comment that we get nothing but good reviews on about the, what you've done to upgrade and the business that you're running up there. So congratulations on what you did.
Thank you very much.
You bet. So with that said, we're going to ask for a motion to approve this.
I'll move to approve.
I'll second.
It's been moved to second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries unanimously. All right, now let's get a picture. You got a professional
photographer.
Watch out.
Make
us credit.
Yeah.
There we go. I'm going to get front of the plug. There we go. Come on.
Hi.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much. Thanks
for your hard work.
We're trying.
Well, we know it's a lot of work.
Yeah.
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 Okay.
Yeah. That's all you
Next up is item number 13, discussion on possible action. Extension of a general services agreement for the lobbyist services and other federal legislative assistance of the Porter Group from December the 31st, 2019, and August 1st, 2020. I think that's August 22, 2020. Anyway, Congressman Porter has sent up his A-team today. We've had contractual services with the Porter Group for several years now. They help us out with issues that we are always have pending in Washington and here at the local level as well. So we have the Congressman's son in attendance today. We've got Chris Porter. We've got Ashley, who formerly worked at Dean Heller's office. And we've got Brian, came from parts unknown. So, good floor. Awesome.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a little background on this. Chairman McBride said it very well that Congressman Porter and his team have been just amazing with Story County and helping us with various federal matters over the years. The contract with them expired on December 31st. I had talked with the folks and asked them, would you be willing to extend the contract in my office just for 7 days so we could hold this meeting and allow the board then to consider potential, not necessarily another contract, but just an extension until the summer, and that this extension under the existing terms of the contract that expired or would allow these folks to work with us on a couple things. One is a big one with shared federal framework. Unlike our annual trip to Washington, D.C., where we meet with our congressional representatives, in this one, you're going to have Washoe, Reno, Sparks, Tumwa, Tum Wharf, Story County, RTC, Washoe. I believe Campo from Carson City will be there. You're going to have regional planning. You're going to have all different groups from this entire region going to Washington as a unified group. And they're going to be working with the Porter Group as well to go and meet with our senators and our congressmen as a unified group with two or three or four goals. So instead of us all going there with our different things, we're going to focus probably on transportation and other regional importance or matters of importance and talk with these folks and saying we all believe in the same thing. We're all here for the same reason. We're all here asking you, our representatives for assistance in that. This is a major thing happening this spring. This is the second time shared federal framework has ever occurred, and the Porter Group, I think, would be really instrumental in helping us collaborate with the region in this effort. One of the reasons I'm requesting that this board consider an extension of the contract. Otherwise, while the Lands Act or the Lands Transfer Bill of Virginia City and Gold Hill is effective and moving forward, this group is still working with us and collaborating with the BLM and other groups to try to get these this land transfer converted over in an 18-month period or so effectively. There is a proposal to take the zip code bill of the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center that was successful partially because of this group and to create another zip code bill that would be for the Highlands, Lockwood, and Mark Twain so that folks that live in those areas can benefit from having a Story County zip code as opposed to a Washoe County or Dayton zip code. Zip codes affect everything from insurance rates to having to battle with Washoe County when they tell you you got to smog your car and all kinds of things like that. Public lands that are outside of us, particularly the Washoe County Lands Bill, although not in our county, affects the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center and the transportation routes along the I-80 corridor very much. This group is integrally involved in that bill. And then last but not least, certainly, is the Porter Group has come to us and they understand there's some federal grants and EDA monies they might be able to help us and really take lead on getting very substantial federal money for things like IT infrastructure, communications, transportation, whatever issues are affecting the county. I think the six-month extension will allow us to work with these folks and see what we might be able to do, and then this board can again consider if it's really necessary to continue the contract or to take a different approach. Thank you.
Okay, great. Thanks, Austin. Is there any questions for Austin or the Porter Group?
I don't believe we have any better representation possible in Washington, D.C. than the Porter Group. They've been outstanding for all the years they've represented us. Thank you. I'm so appreciative that they're taking us under their wing. Thank you.
Thanks. All right, we'll open up for public comment. Hearing none. Mr. Porter, do you have anything you want to add to this?
If
you're going to, we'll have you come up to the podium because okay. we have to get you on the record.
It's been an honor to represent the county since 2014. So, thank you again for giving us an opportunity to extend our contract or at least getting out to August. I think there's a lot of great stuff that we can do to help move forward in getting those federal funds. And we look forward to working with you and your departments.
Very good.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Porter. All right. With that said, we call for a motion to approve.
Based on the recommendation from staff, I, Commissioner Carmona, motion to approve extension of general services agreement for lobbyist services and other federal legislative assistance of the Porter Group from December 31st, 2019 to August 1st, 2020.
I'll second.
Moved and seconded to approve extension of this contract. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion carries unanimously.
Great.
All righty, let's move on now to item number 14. This is discussion of possible action. Consideration of letters of interest for appointment of planning commissioners to serve a term representing Precinct 4, Mark Twain District, Precinct 3, the Lockwood River District, and Story County at-large position on the Story County Planning Commission. Mr. Osborne?
All right, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll just give a summary. You pretty much said it. We have three vacant planning commission positions, Mark Twain River, and the at-large position that can be anybody in the county. We posted the planning commission position in the Comstock Chronicle as well as our Facebook and our website per like we do a normal job. We did receive applicants for all the positions. For Mark Twain, we received Adrienne Baugh. She is the current planning commissioner. For River District, Chris Thompson, he's the current planning commissioner. And for the at-large position, John Harrington was the existing commissioner. For personal reasons and obligations, he was unable to reapply. He did an excellent job on the planning commission. I want the record to reflect that he did a great job and we'd reconsider him. Otherwise, we do have Brian Staples from Virginia City applied, Carl Gambrill from Virginia City applied, Sam Toll from Gold Hill applied, Tom Perkey from Virginia City applied. Our recommendations at this point are for Mark Twain and River. Mark Twain, we recommend Adrienne Baugh to continue, and for River, Chris Thompson to continue. For the at-large position, because of the number of applicants we have, I recommend that we call them in to personally interview them all, and then make a recommendation either at the 21st of January or February 7, if we're ready at that time.
Okay.
And thank you. If some of those folks are in the audience today, thank you for coming, and thank you for your applications. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Commissioners, have any questions for Austin?
No questions.
All right. Open up for public comment. All righty, then, on the recommendation of the staff, I guess, ask for a motion to go ahead and accept both Ms. Baugh and Mr. Thompson today.
And we'll just leave it at that.
Leave it at that, and then we can go ahead and wait until after the interview. You want to do the interview in the meeting, or you want to do private interview?
I look to this board what it prefers. Typically, we do them in a private meeting.
Okay.
That works.
Yeah.
All right.
Whatever's customary, I'm good with.
Try not to butcher this. In accordance with recommendation by staff, I, Jay Carmona, motion to reappoint Adrienne Baugh to represent Precinct 4, Mark Twain District, and Chris Thompson to represent Precinct 3, the Lockwood River District.
Okay. I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
It's moved and second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. All right. Well, thank you for everyone who's applied, and then As Mr. Osborne pointed out, we'll go ahead and he will schedule interviews for the four candidates for Virginia City at large, and we'll go from there. Thank you for everybody who participated in the process. All right, moving on to item number 15. This is discussion of possible action. Consideration of possible approval of the contract with Motorola Solutions Incorporated for the sale and installation of equipment and software upgrades to the Story County Communication System, and for the maintenance and support of the upgraded system for the price of $1,795,708. That price may change by the time this matter is considered by the board. Mr. Loomis.
Keith Loomis, District Attorney's Office. As noted in the agenda item, the price has changed a little bit in that it is now at a reduced amount of $1,766,000. Has been reviewed by the DA's office. I did request some changes, and those changes were accepted. Those are basically in the area of number one, adding the fire district as a party to the contract to try to recognize the separateness of that district from the county. We also addressed some public record issues and some limitations on liability for the county. But this is really Dave Ballard's baby, and I invite him to come on up and explain what we're doing.
Good morning, Dave Ballard, Story County Communications. Yeah, this project is something we've been working on for a lot of years. It's, I would say probably close to 8 or 9 years we've looked at this. We've looked at a lot of different ways, and this is kind of what we wanted to go with. We're looking at upgrading the current system we have right now. We like the VHF system that we've been using. We've been using it for years. We looked at the shared systems that Washoe County and the state of Nevada have. They really don't fit our needs. They are built for the metropolitan areas and not really built as much for us, per se. They are and they aren't. We'd have to put a lot more mountaintops in. The VHF system that we have right now is currently already built. We're just upgrading everything. We're adding the USA Parkway tower to it, which will give us coverage there. Our current system right now, if we were to look at it on a map, we'd cover probably about 80 to 85% of the county. The new system we're looking at covers closer to 99% of the county. It's basically going to give our everybody who uses these radios coverage anywhere throughout the county. I mean, there's a few spots that are dead, but it's between 98 and 99% covered right now. That's going to cover pretty much every nook and cranny out there in the highlands, out there by the back of, you know, TRI, that area back there is going to be pretty much covered. It's a solid system there. We looked at it as not just purchasing the infrastructure itself. We actually are looking at doing a turnkey system here. If you get a chance to look at the Motorola contract that's in there, they have a parts list broken out by each mountaintop. They're covering everything. We're covering everything from antennas to cables to absolutely everything. If there is a user in this county of a radio, they're getting a new radio. The radios are designed, they're P25 digital, which means basically they meet today's compliance. They can be IP-based if they want. They're VHF programmed, but they're also licensed for 700 and 800. 700 is not here right now. 800 is what the shared users use. So basically that means if we decided we needed to talk to one of those other frequencies, we can do that. They have the capability of being programmed to UHF if we ever go to that. So this pretty much fixes our needs. The contract itself, the user's maintenance on there is an 8-year license, which means part of that is it's going to be the software is going to be upgraded regularly. So even 8 years from now, these radios are still going to be meeting today's standards. It's definitely it's where we need to be. I know it's kind of got a pretty big price tag on it, but it's where we have to be at this time. The system we have now, we purchased a lot of that in 2002 after 9/11 off of grants. We had to upgrade it a lot throughout the time. We had to find ways to upgrade it during the big narrowband scare, which was kind of our Cuban Missile Crisis. Nobody knew what was going to happen. They just decided to tell us it was a federally unfunded mandate. We had to upgrade everything, so we had to upgrade some stuff along the way to get it to work. We pretty much updated it then, knowing that we were going to have to replace it at some time. And that's kind of where we are right now. With everybody going to this digital platform, we need to do something with it, and we just can't really do any more upgrades with it. The stuff we have now is pretty much obsolete. It's lived its service life. It can't be upgraded. Some of the software runs on Windows XP, so it's just now is as good as any to get everything upgraded. We did a count through everybody. We got an accurate count what the sheriff needs, what the fire department needs, had buy-in from all departments, public works, community development. We had a little bit of buy-in from everybody on it, and this is what we're looking at going with at this time.
Questions for Dave?
I have no questions.
I just wanted to say thanks for your efforts on this. Thanks to Team Motorola back there. I was part of some of the conversation, and I'm personally glad to see that we're finally here.
Thank you.
So it's my understanding that we'll be replacing every piece of communications equipment in the county?
Yes. Everything we're...
And the dispatch center as well.
The dispatch center is going to be included. There'll be two new consoles there. I said every antenna, every repeater on the mountaintop, the receivers down in dispatch will be replaced, every handheld, mobile, literally everything. It's all going to be done. It's going to be, if I'm correct, it's all going to be done by you guys, Sierra Electronics. They're going to do the builds of the cars, you know, installing everything. It's all going to be done internally. Done locally here in Reno. They're going to take care of everything for us there on. That's part of the package.
Okay. As we look at the package, the service contract on this is pretty pricey as well. Mm-hmm. So is that going to include not just upgrades in software, but does that include any type of repair work that this equipment's going to need for the course of the 8 years?
It covers the infrastructure, which is the big part. The mobiles and handhelds, I believe it's a couple of years coverage in there. But the big stuff is the stuff that will be covered, yes. I'm currently paying now probably $35,000 to $50,000 a year in repairs for fixing mountaintop stuff. Usually what will happen is you'll get 3 feet of snow in the valley, and then you'll get something will break up on top of Pond Peak. And so then it takes everything we can to get up there. I mean, we've had to fly people up there. So it's quick to eat up $30,000 on a simple repair. You'd think it'd be simple. It's pretty quick to eat that up. So this will all be covered under that part, yes. It will be covered. So make it a lot easier just basically calling them and letting them deal with it. And they've always been decent with that part of it for us. They've always taken care of that. I've actually called the manager out on a service call once. He stepped away from his daughter's graduation party to return my call. So they've been very responsive when it comes to this type of stuff.
Very good. All right. Let's open up for public comment. Public comment regarding this item? No? All right. It's a big number to look at. We usually don't spend over $1 million unless we're buying a fire engine or Justice Court. And I saw you want to weigh in?
Sure. When you're ready.
Okay. I just know that I saw some of Ballard's original notes on this. They were done in the number 2 lead pencil, or the back of his term paper, I think. He's been working on this for quite a while.
It's been a while.
All right. Austin?
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First, I just want to thank our IT group as well as Motorola groups and Dave and you all. I'm highly, unbelievably appreciative for the hard work you put into this over almost the last decade. I remember talking about this a long time ago. And it's been you guys that put this together. But just a couple key points I want to make sure we all understand is this being an 8-year program, but these machines can be used beyond that. It isn't necessarily at 8 years they have to be thrown out and replaced. A big key component of those system that you all have chosen is that we own the equipment. It's ours. We're not reliant on Washoe, Reno, and Sparks to own the equipment and call the shots when we have any challenges or issues. It's our stuff. VHS, UHF, you talked about the 7 and 800 and the P25. In addition, this communicates with the state, and it's compliant with all the stuff they require. The coverage on this, Dave talked about it great, but with the Motorola Group, with Sierra Electronics, and those folks have shown us maps. In the Highlands right now is spotty. It just kind of looks like a mismatch of green versus white, and Mark Twain, there are huge swaths of land that are not covered, and the USA Parkway area is completely not covered. And the new maps that you look at with this coverage, everything is green, everything is covered except for a couple key islands. And I'm looking to you two, but even in some of those canyons, there may be where you can park a truck and you can relay radio signals down into those canyons under this new system, so you could almost say that the county actually is 100% covered in one way or another. There's no new towers, or maybe one, but the USA one, but this system will reduce the amount of towers that would be required after, as opposed to using another type of system. And I think it's exciting that we can reuse a lot of our existing microwave equipment. We don't have to rebuild and replace that, which is going to be huge savings. And then, Dave, you're absolutely right. I really like the story with Sierra Electronics. They're a local company that you can call at 2 in the morning, or the guy's at his daughter's graduation, and he'll step aside and help you with a critical matter as opposed to calling a corporate type of matter and not having that. And this is going to work with everything that we have. So this is going to be 911, sheriff's office, fire district, emergency management. Some of our building inspectors have to have these radios for the places they go in. Our assessor's office has one. Our snow plows use them. It's a wide range of uses for almost every department. When I'm doing PIO with our group, we're going to have the radios needed depending on the kind of public information officer duties or field duties that are going on. So it's a great program, and thank you both.
Yeah, the one thing that I didn't mention on it, too, is the safety concerns that we had in the past. What we have right now, we have to manually select our channels, which radio you want to talk on, which there's parts of the Highlands. You don't know if you need to be on North or Central. There's just different parts to where you have to switch the channel. This one you don't have to. It does all the thinking for you. So you can just key the mic and talk, which is huge, especially if you're one of the cops out there getting into a fight alongside the road and you're trying to yell for help. You don't have to, hang on, let me switch the channel. You just talk. So it'll be huge for everybody.
Upon the approval of this contract, what is the build-out time on this?
We're looking at probably, in theory, by late summer, early fall. You know, we got, you know, winter coming. We're going to have all the snow melt. I mean, I know they'll be ordering equipment as soon as we get this and get the ball rolling on their part, but a lot of the build-out is going to have to be determined on, you know, snow. If we don't get any snow, maybe they can start in, you know, March. But if we get a lot of snow, they might have to wait till it melts off a little bit to get up there. But we're looking at probably about a 9 to 10 month turnaround.
Okay. Anything else? I got one more technical thing for you.
Go ahead.
I just want to remind you that there's an addendum in front of you. Mr. Loomis had talked about a couple changes he had made, and this addendum reflects them. The one in the agenda packet does not. This addendum has a very large print on the front and back. Those are the two major changes. The rest of it, to save paper, was done in small print because they're next to nothing or nothing in the rest, and the public has been provided a copy of this as well. Thank you.
Very good. Once again, I'll ask if there's any public comment. Hearing enough, I can call for a motion.
I, Jay Carmona, move to approve the agreement with Motorola Solutions, Inc. for the provision and installation of equipment and software to upgrade the Story County communication system and for the maintenance and support of the upgraded system.
Second motion.
We've moved in a second to approve this contract with Motorola. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Great.
Thank you.
David.
Thank you.
Get busy. All right. At this time, we're going to recess as the Story County Board of Commissioners and reconvene as the Story County Fire Protection District Board, which brings us to item 17. This is a discussion of possible action. This is a mirror of what we just did because the Fire Protection District is involved in this as well. So, you want to add in for that, Mr. Willis?
Keith Loomis, District Attorney's Office. Now, this is the same agreement. It's just going to be signed off by you as the members of the Fire District Board to reflect that the Fire District is separate from the county.
Good. Thank you, Mr. Willis. With that said, I'll go ahead and ask if there's any public comment regarding this item. Hearing enough, I get the same motion.
I, Jay Carmona, move to approve the agreement with Motorola Solutions, Inc. for the provision and installation of equipment and software to upgrade the Story County communication system and for the maintenance and support of the upgraded system.
I'll second your motion.
Move in second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. At this time, we're going to go ahead and recess as the Story County Fire Protection District, and we will convene as the Story County Liquor License Board, which is on number 18. 19 will bring us up to discussion of possible action. Approval of the first reading to amend the existing liquor license for the Union Brewery at 63 North C Street, Virginia City, Nevada, 94440. Requesting to add Don Grant. So, we covered this pretty much when we talked about the consent agenda. But Austin,
I don't have anything.
You have everything on this? Okay.
This is the liquor license. That was the business license.
Right. Basically, it's the same thing. There's two different licenses. But same person is involved. This Dawn Grant is the owner of the building, so she has applied for the liquor license to go ahead and operate the business. So, is there any public comment regarding this license? Hearing enough, we get a motion to approve.
I, Jay Carmona, recommend the approval of the first reading to amend an existing liquor license for the Union Brewery, 63 North C Street, Virginia City, Nevada, 89440, requesting to add Don Grant.
I'll second.
Moved and second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Item number 20 is we're going to recess. This is the Story County Liquor License Board to reconvene as the Story County Board of County Commissioners. Bringing us item number 21. This is a discussion of possible action. Approval of business license second readings, A through E. Mr. Osborne.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a couple modifications on item 8, the Story County Senior Center Board. It should just be modified technically to Senior Centers Board. And then on item 17, we asked to remove item 17 in order for us to bring to the January 21st meeting the full range of appointment recommendations for the VCTC board.
Removed item.
Yeah. Right. Let's go ahead and approve the second reading, so then we'll move back. How's that?
Okay.
Okay. Is there public comment regarding this business license second reading? Seeing if we get a motion to approve.
I move to approve the second reading of the business licenses, item A through I.
A through E.
Oh, excuse me, A through E.
Yeah.
Second.
Moved a second to approve second business license readings, A through E. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Okay, we're going to back up a little bit. Because we were supposed to move this right after number 20. This is Roman numeral 4 in the consent agenda. The possible action, approval of the 2020 appointments to serve on state, county, and regional boards and committees.
Mr. Osborne.
Okay. If you like, I'll go ahead and start.
Yes.
Again, all right. We recommend on item 8 of this section, senior Story County Senior Center Board, just be changed to Story County Senior Centers Board, just for technicality. And item 17, we recommend to remove that at this point, so at the January 21st meeting, we can recommend a full range of all of the appointees to the VCTC Board. So just correct 8 and remove 17.
8. More. Okay. Commissioners, have any questions for Austin on this?
No.
Is there a public comment regarding this item? Okay. Do you have a motion to approve?
I, Jay Carmona, move to approve the approval of 2020 appointments with the exception of the spelling correction on item number 8 and moving of item number 17 to the January 21st meeting.
Good. That works. I'll second.
That's good, yeah. Move a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Moves us along now to item number 21. Public comment. Is public comment today? Hearing none. I guess we'll see everybody on the 21st.